President Trump's most important job is going to be the trickiest. It's the area where the president can make the biggest progress, but it's also where he can be misled into catastrophic errors. I'm referring to his nomination of literally hundreds of federal judges, including nominations to the U.S. Supreme Court. The good news is that you can help AFA Action's constitutional experts research nominees and give advice to the president. But to do this analysis, AFA Action needs your help. So please visit AFAAction.net to donate today.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope you're having a good Wednesday morning. The weather is supposed to turn ugly today in Texarkana, and that creates a problem because we have a big concert coming in tonight. C.C. Winans is coming in, and it's a sold-out concert, and I don't know what they consider a sellout. We have an auditorium that seats 2,382 people for church. We could have that many, but when you have concerts, some of those seats aren't good sight lines for concerts, and so I don't know how many seats they sold, but no more tickets available, and the doors don't open till 6 o'clock, and it's general admission, so we have a little bit of a challenge. We don't want people standing out in a torrential rain, and so we'll have to work with them to see how they want to do things. We are the venue for it. They control all things as they've rented out the building for this C.C. Winans concert. And so anyway, we trust the Lord for to work out all the details, and C.C. and her entourage are due in this morning, and so we're looking forward to a great concert tonight. Well, as everybody knows, yesterday was April Fool's Day. We had Doyle Dykes in the studio, guitar legend Doyle Dykes, and so we didn't talk much at all. We kind of mentioned it was April Fool's Day, but we didn't talk about it, and today I want to talk about it. I want to talk about fools and foolishness, because the Bible has much to say. The word fools or foolishness is used over and over and over again, especially in the Old Testament. And there's seven different Hebrew words that are used, all have a little bit difference in shade of meaning. You can all lump them into the same bucket as far as a fool is someone who does things that is against wisdom. It's the opposite of wisdom if you're going to behave foolishly. But we're going to dive into that today, and then we'll pick out what's going on in our world to show the foolishness. So to begin, I was doing a little research on when did April Fool's Day even begin, and the answer is it's uncertain and debated among historians, but the tradition is it's widely believed to have begun in Europe during the late Middle Ages or early Renaissance. Now, this is according to AI, with the most commonly cited starting point between the late being the late 16th century. So this is the leading theory. The calendar change in France in 1582. They said one popular explanation ties April Fool's Day to the adoption of the Gregorian calendar under Pope Gregory VIII. In 1582, France shifted from the Julian calendar, where the new year began around late March or early April, often tied to the spring equinox, to the Gregorian calendar, which set January 1 as the start of the year. And according to this theory, those who continued celebrating the new year in late March or early April, around April 1st, were mocked as fools by those who had adopted the new calendar. This led to pranks and jokes targeting the April fools who clung to their old system. While this story is often repeated, no direct contemporary evidence from 1582 explicitly links the calendar change to the holiday. It's more of a plausible folk explanation that gained traction over time. Well, seems pretty plausible. You know, there were some people taken in by Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods participated in April Fool's Day. You might have heard that he recently tore his Achilles tendon, and had surgery. And then Tiger posted yesterday that miracle of miracles, because of some new treatment that he was doing, the Achilles is healed from the surgery, and he's going to participate in the Masters golf tournament that tees off next week. And Jason Whitlock said good luck to you, and people were mocking Jason Whitlock for evidently not picking up on the fact that Tiger was presenting that as an April Fool's. Obviously, if you know anything about Achilles tendon ruptures, you're not going to be playing golf a couple of weeks later. That takes a long time to heal. It used to take a year, although Aaron Rodgers, with some new treatment, he shortened that time frame, but it does take a long time. That's a bad one. Speaking as a former broken down high school and weekend warrior athlete, I've torn both my patella tendons in each of my knees, tore my knee up, had four knee surgeries, had to quit playing basketball because of that. But I was always concerned about tearing my Achilles tendon, because if you tear that one, you're pretty much going to be out of commission for about a year, and it may never be quite the same. It's hard. I talked to an orthopedic surgeon. He says it's hard to put that back together because it's like sewing two ends of a broom together. So Tiger Woods participated in April Fool's Day. Well, what does the Bible have to say about fools? When you type in a search on fools, you'll find that the first mention in the Bible of fools was Saul talking of himself to David. He said, "I have played the fool." And the Hebrew word is sakal, which means to act or do foolishly. And as I said, there are seven Hebrew words. Some are used more than others in the Old Testament to convey the concept of fool, fools, or foolishness. And it describes different types of folly. Proverbs has lots to say about foolishness. And one of the key verses in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, right off the bat, Proverbs 1 and verse 7 gives us a really important message from the Lord. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, that word for fools there is evil. Almost looks like evil when you look at it written out, but it's pronounced evil. And that word means one who despises wisdom, one who is quarrelsome, one who is perverse, one who is licentious. So a person who wants to argue, a person who is lawless in his or her behavior and morally perverse, that person despises wisdom and instruction. 26 times you find evil in the Old Testament. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning point of everything. We've talked about the fear of the Lord a lot on Real Truth for Today, because that's the first button in the shirt. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I went to Catholic school, and we had a uniform that we had to wear, and some corduroy pants, kind of salt and pepper corduroy pants, and you had to wear a white shirt and a white button-down shirt. And so I knew as a kid, when I would button my shirt as a six-year-old, sometimes it would be off, and I didn't know why it was off. And the reason why it was off is because I missed the first button. And if you miss the first button on your shirt, no matter how meticulous you are with the other buttons, your shirt is off because you missed the first button. Well, the fear of the Lord is the first button on the shirt. It's the beginning, the starting point of wisdom. It's the beginning point of knowledge. And what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is not to be afraid of God, but it's to recognize God. It's to give God his place as master, as creator, as king, and you take your place as his doulos, his slave. Now, Jesus said, "I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends," in John chapter 15. But all the gospel writers And the epistle writers, Paul and Peter and James and John and Jude, they refer to themselves as the bondslave, the doulos of Jesus Christ. They had the fear of the Lord. And if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you're a fool. I mean, who would not fear God and revere him and give him ultimate respect and recognize that he's the king of the universe? I like that line in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where they're having this conversation about Aslan. And, you know, Aslan is the lion who represents Jesus. And the question, it's from one of the kids to the Mrs. Beaver, if I'm trying to remember all the details, but they were asking, you know, is Aslan safe? You know, I'd be very afraid to, you know, to be in his presence if he's this ferocious lion. And the answer is he safe? No, he's not safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. And we have the idea that God is safe. We want to take all the rough edges out of God and just he's this big ball of mush. God is not safe, but he's good. Now, he's safe in the standpoint of you can come to the Lord. He is gracious. He is good. But we don't like the idea of God being a God of justice. We don't like the idea of God being a God of war. And he's called the Lord of angel armies, Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of angel armies, the Lord of hosts, and he leads an army. You know, it says of the Lord Jesus, when he comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 19. Now, tell me if this sounds safe to you. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, not his blood, but the blood of his vanquished foes. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now it says in Revelation chapter 19, when it previews the Battle of Armageddon, it says that there is going to be so much carnage at the Battle of Armageddon when the Antichrist and his forces go up against the Lord and his forces. Now, it says the armies which are white and clean followed after him. That's us. He's not speaking of angels. He's speaking of the believers that were raptured up with him. We come back with him because we're always going to be with the Lord. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So we come back with him, but we don't come back with him to help him fight. He fights on a day of battle. And it says, and the winepress, this is Revelation 14:20, the winepress was trodden outside the city, and the blood came out from the winepress up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. Is he safe? No. But he's good. Our God is a consuming fire, it says in Hebrews chapter 10. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We need to fear the Lord, not to be afraid of him like he's going to come get us, but we need to recognize who he is and recognize he is God. So that's the first button on the shirt. What do fools say to the fear of the Lord? Phooey. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to argue against the Lord. I despise wisdom. I despise instruction. I'm going to do it my own way. As I heard somebody just say on Jenna's program, it's kind of like the days of Noah, the days of the judges. There's no king in Israel. Each one did what was good in his own eyes. And we seem to have that right now going on in America. Well, fools and foolishness. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we're going to delve into this. I have some clips and things that I want to play because it's important for us to know what is going on in our world, because the devil is at work and Christians need to stand up and speak up for the truth. So we're up against a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about fools and foolishness. We're a day late on April Fool's. That was yesterday. But the subject matter is still viable for today. We have the big day on April 1st. I told you where they think it started, originated, and calling people fools. It didn't switch to the Gregorian calendar. But we have a plethora of fools in our world. And a fool is somebody who not just a dullard, not just a simpleton, but more than that, somebody who rejects God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7. Then again, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge is 1:7. Then it says wisdom. And it says fools reject that. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And a very famous verse, Psalm 14, verse 1, two times we read in the book of Psalms about the fool, specifically as it relates to God. The fool has said in his heart, Proverbs or Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. I had a discussion with a listener, and he believes that man is basically good. Well, according to Psalm 14, there are none who are good, not even one. There's no one who does good. Man is a sinner. And man is in desperate need of a savior. He's a helpless, hopeless sinner. And man can do some quote-unquote good things, but that doesn't change the fact that he's separated from God. You remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is none good save God alone, except God alone. Now, do you understand that I'm God?" Jesus wasn't saying he wasn't God. He was asking this man why he was calling him that. Did he understand who he was? And this, there's none righteous, not even one. That doesn't mean everybody's a mass murderer. I like what Robert Lewis once said about the depravity of man. He said, man is depraved. You know, the tulip in Calvinism, the T stands for total depravity. Man is depraved. Man is a sinner. He's a helpless sinner. He's a hopeless sinner. He can't save himself. And Robert Lewis says, being depraved doesn't mean you're as bad as you can be, that you're participating in as much sin as possible and you're trying to hurt as many people as possible. That's not what that means. It means you're as bad off as you can be in your standing before God. You're separated from God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what that means. And so do we have some quote-unquote good people, the way we use the term good, that are relatively moral, that are would be good neighbors who would not try and hurt you, people that you could trust? If you handed them your wallet, they're not going to steal you blind. Are there some people like that that aren't believers? Yes. But they're still in bad shape before the Lord, because there is none good save God alone. He is the only one who is holy, holy, holy. And so when the Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, and then it's Psalm 53, verse 1, the same thing, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Interesting, the fool that's used there, the word is Nabal. That's used 18 times in the Old Testament. And that word means senseless, stupid, wicked, and morally perverse. It has all those definitions. So if you think about it that way, the morally perverse person has said in his heart, doesn't say it in his head, he says it in his heart, because he knows in his head that there is a God. I mean, these people who claim that they are atheists, that they know that there is no God. Well, they don't know that. How could you know that? They throw it back on Christians. How do you know there is a God? Prove there is a God. Well, prove there's not a God. Creation is proof that there is a God. Everybody knows if there's a creation, there has to be a creator. And the idea that everything came out of nothing is ridiculous. If the math equation is nobody times nothing equals everything, Adrian Rogers used to say, well, you have room to rent upstairs unfurnished. I mean, that's just stupid to think that everything came from nothing. And now people will say, well, you say that in the beginning, God, and how did God get his start? So it's just the same difference. Well, the difference being is God is outside of everything. He's the uncreated creator. And that makes a lot more sense than to say in the beginning there was nothing and there was no one and everything just came into being. Well, nothing produces nothing. So if you say there is no God, you're a fool. You're a morally perverse person. And you say it in your heart. And here is the bottom line. You don't want there to be a God. Richard Dawkins, I contend, he hates the concept of God. Now, he has a twisted, perverted understanding of God. The God he paints would not be a God anybody would want to follow. And people have this false idea of who God is. You know, I think one of the most important scriptures is Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, where the Lord describes himself. He appears before Moses. Moses had prayed in Exodus 33, Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your glory. And the Lord says, well, I'll show you the backside of my glory. I'll show you the edges of my glory. No man can see my face and live. And then, as the song says, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and covers me there with his hand. Well, that's what he did with Moses. He put him on the mountain, and he hid him in the cleft of the rock. And then he passed by. It says the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with Moses as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed his name, proclaimed his nature. And that's his splendor. That's his glory. That's his weight. Show me your glory. That word means weight. The Lord, Yahweh, the Lord. Says it again, Yahweh, God, Elohim. There is only one God, and he is Yahweh, he is the Lord. And what about this God? He's compassionate, he's gracious, he's slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. He just overflows with loving kindness, God's love and kindness mixed together, and truth, because God is a God of truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. God is a forgiving God. He forgives it across the board. Iniquity, twistedness, transgression, you cross a line, and sin, you miss the mark. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. Now, that is God. When I had my Old Testament survey class in seminary many years ago, my seminary professor said this. He said, notice this about God. He is so skewed to the good because he keeps loving kindness for thousands. yet he visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Thousands, verses 3 and 4. Third and fourth generation. So he says he's skewed to the good. Now people want to know, what does that mean, where you visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children? Do the children pay for the father's sins? Well, they're not accountable to God for their father's sins, but they sure have to deal with the aftermath of the father's sins. You know, if I, as a father, don't take care of my children, if I'm a drunk, if I end up in prison for committing crimes, does that affect my children? Yes. Does that affect my grandchildren? Yes. There are problems that come into their lives. There are problems that come into a family tree when a father is guilty and sins against God and goes the wrong direction. That's not without consequences. So children do suffer because their father is rejecting God's will, God's word, and God's ways. And as we talk about being a quote-unquote good person, if that father is a quote-unquote bad person and does bad things, that will hurt the child. And there are many children walking around with father wounds because they had a dad who really hurt them, a grandfather who really hurt them. So there's a ripple effect. Also, it means visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children. It also talks about the iniquity. Iniquity is twistedness. And when a father has a problem with a sin area and doesn't deal with that, he can pass that difficulty on to his children and his grandchildren. Take Abraham, for example. Abraham, the father of all who believe. Abraham's has been said about Abraham, he's the brightest star in the Hebrew heaven. He's a heavy hitter. But Abraham had a problem with lying. When he got into a jam, when he got in, felt the pressure, he would lie. And that lie showed up concerning his wife, Sarah. You know, they in Genesis 12, they go down to Egypt. Not supposed to go there. God led him to the promised land, but there was a famine in the land. It was a test. And he goes down to Egypt because he heard there was food there. And he is very concerned because his wife is so beautiful. Say you're my sister. Let's just deceive the Pharaoh so he doesn't take you into his harem and kill me. And so Abraham had trouble with lying. Isaac, his son, had trouble lying. He did the same thing with his wife. Say, you're my sister. And then Isaac has children. He has Jacob and Esau. And Jacob is a trickster. He's a con man. He's a supplanter. And so you have all this deception. Starts with Abraham, continues with Isaac, big time in Jacob. And then Jacob's sons, they deceive their father in a huge way, telling their father and making Jacob believe that his favorite son, Joseph, was killed by wild animals. They deceive their father. And so you see the twistedness in that family from the father to the sons and the grandsons to the third and fourth generations. But that is God. God is a good God. And if you believe a lie about God, and the devil is a liar and the father of lies, then you get off course and you create God in this image of God in your own mind, where God is some monster. And so, yeah, I don't want to follow him. He's a terrible deity. Well, that's not God at all. And people are going to find out. And sadly, for many of them, they're going to find out before it's too late that they could have had a relationship with this God of the universe, this creator God, and it would have been the most wonderful thing in their whole life, and yet they believed a lie. Okay, so fools and foolishness. Monday was the Transgender Day of Visibility. It's May 31st. They started that, I think, in 2010. And, you know, transgenderism has exploded in the last 15 years. In the area of young people, it's up about 10x over the last 15 years. So 10 times the population in 15 years in young people. It's insane. You're a fool of the highest order if you... You believe a lie. You are so deceived If you believe that there are more than two genders, Jesus said, did not God create them male and female? Matthew chapter 19, he's quoting back from Genesis chapter 1. Obviously, there are two genders. As this Canadian candidate for president said, well, I don't know of any other. Do you know of any other? As this reporter was trying to grill him, I don't know of any other genders other than male and female. Do you? And the guy's like, oh, no. I mean, there aren't more than two. But we're trying to say that, you know, it's fluid, you can go back and forth, and there are all these two-spirit, and then there are all these other possible genders, and then my pronouns, and blah, blah, blah. Matt Walsh was appearing before some congressional hearing, I believe, in California, and he was talking about this foolishness. Here's what he had to say.
Today, I'm not going to talk about fairness, although it's certainly true that allowing men to compete in women's sports is deeply unfair. And I'm not going to talk about safety, although it's certainly true that allowing men into female sports teams and into their bathrooms is incredibly unsafe. I'll let others highlight those important points. I want to talk about something even more important and even more basic. It's the most basic thing of all. It's truth. You must keep men out of women's sports and out of their facilities for the simple reason that they are men. Men are not women. A man who claims he is a woman is still not a woman. So why shouldn't men play in women's sports? Because they aren't women. It isn't true. We should not allow men into women's sports for the same reason we shouldn't go around claiming that 2 + 2 = 7. It's just not true. It is a lie. The man who identifies as a woman is either deluded and confused, or he is a cross-dressing fetishist looking to play out his fantasies in public. In either case, the claim that he's making, the claim to womanhood, is not true. And compelling women to take part in this untruth is evil, perverse, and predatory. If you would use the force of law to compel young girls to use a changing room with a boy, you are yourselves predators. Transgenderism is a lie. It is, in fact, the most deranged lie that mankind has ever invented. In a free country, nobody should ever be forced to participate in a lie. As lawmakers, you have an obligation to the truth. It is a truth that I know you all recognize because every human who has ever lived on earth recognizes it, that men are men and women are women. It is that simple. And the question before you is just as simple. The question is this: will you side with the truth, a truth so basic that every toddler understands it, or will you disgrace yourselves by denying it? That is your choice to make.
That was Matt Walsh talking about what is very obvious. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We're talking about fools and foolishness. We'll be right back after the break. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about fools and foolishness. The Bible has much to say about this important subject. Obviously, nobody wants to be a fool. Nobody wants to participate in foolishness. The Bible does tell us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. It's important for parents to deal with foolishness in their children. And spanking, administered in love, not in anger, is God's way for us to train up our children in the way that they should go, and to teach them the difference between right and wrong. And so they don't grow up being going from little fools to bigger fools. But we have many, many fools. And as we said, the starting point is rejecting God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I don't want God. That's the Nabal person. That's the Nabal is a word for fool that's used in Psalm 14:1. And it means the morally perverse person. It's the perverse is the person that wants his sin. And so he doesn't want God to exist. Because if God exists, then he is accountable to God. And he doesn't want that because he wants to live his own life. He doesn't want there to be a king. As it says in the book of Judges, in those days there was no king in Israel. Each one did what was right in his own eyes. Well, the Nabal, the morally perverse person, doesn't want there to be a king of kings and lord of lords. He doesn't want to have to give an account of his life to God when he dies, because he wants to do his own thing. He wants to do what's right in his own eyes. The problem is, when you have that, you do what's right in your eyes, I do what's right in my eyes, and our sense of right and wrong is not the same. We're not going off the same playbook, and so we're going to have a massive collision. Which brings me to another point here with fools, and that is what's going on with Tesla. You've been seeing it on the news, no doubt. You're not living under a rock. You know what's going on. There's a coordinated effort to destroy Elon Musk because of his work with President Trump and heading up Doge, and he is uncovering waste, fraud, and corruption and abuse of the taxpayer money, and it's a serious issue. So he said out of his own mouth, he roughly guesses it's about 20% fraud, 80% waste. We all know when dealing with government, it's not the same as dealing with a private entity. It's not the same as dealing with your own money. You know, when you're dealing with your own money, you're very careful with it. When you're dealing with someone else's money, some government agency's money, you're not careful with it. And so that's why things are not done well in government, as opposed to a private business that somebody owns, that whether it's an individual or stockholders, but people are accountable. Hey, how are you spending the money? How are you, this has to turn a profit. Well, what's going on with Tesla is criminal. And I ran across this interview somebody did with a protester, and they were defending how it's okay to vandalize people's cars because you're making a statement. This is what this person had to say.
Destruction of property is a perfectly viable source of protest. No harming humans, obviously. Yeah. Human life is sacred no matter whose it is. But property is, these are just things. These are just cars.
So it's okay to destroy your car. It's okay to burn your car. It's okay to steal from you, basically, in terms of thousands and thousands of dollars. And, the insurance company ends up having to pay for that stuff. And then you and I have to pay for it because insurance rates go up. This idea that it's okay to destroy your property, it's okay to cause you harm in that fashion, it's okay to steal from you, this person wouldn't want someone doing that to them. I guarantee it. They don't want someone coming in, hey, I'm going to light your house on fire, ha, 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 I'm going to destroy everything you own because I'm just protesting you. It's a perfectly legitimate way to protest. Obviously, it's not. And so she thinks, along with many others, thinks that's a viable form of protest. And those who would say, no, that's not a good scale of morality and what is right and what is wrong, we say those people need to be prosecuted. And Pam Bondi, she came on the news just the other day, and she said that they found the person that firebombed the Tesla, Cooper Frederick, been charged by Attorney General Pam Bondi for allegedly firebombing a Tesla dealership in Loveland, Colorado. This is what she had to say about this guy, Cooper Frederick.
I've made it clear, if you take part in the wave of domestic terrorism against Tesla properties, we will find you, arrest you, and put you behind bars. Today, I'm proud to announce that the Department of Justice has unsealed federal charges against another Tesla attacker. We've charged Cooper Frederick in the firebombing of a Tesla dealership that occurred on March 7th in Loveland, Colorado. All of these cases are a serious threat to public safety. Therefore, there will be no negotiating. We are seeking 20 years in prison. The crime was committed in Colorado, and thanks to the great investigative work by the FBI, the defendant was arrested in Plano, Texas. Let this be a warning. You can run, but you cannot hide. Justice is coming.
That was Attorney General Pam Bondi regarding the guy that firebombed the Tesla dealership there in Loveland, Colorado. So they're coming after them. Now, Elon Musk said that they have identified who the generals are. You know, that these are coordinated efforts to destroy Tesla, and there are people calling the shots. And he's, according to Elon Musk, he said the government has identified who these people are that are the generals of all these coordinated efforts, and they need to go after those people. I would agree with that. Who's ever getting these foot soldiers to do these stupid things, you know, the foot soldiers are going to end up paying for the problem. But it's just like when the law enforcement officers go after drug dealers. You don't want to get the guy on the street as much as you want to get the guy that's the higher up, the big drug kingpin. Go after him, because the guy on the street is just going to be replaced tomorrow. You can arrest those guys every single day. They'll just put another useful idiot out there. And you want to go up the chain. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment about this subject, fools and foolishness, there's lots of examples of this in our world today, because we live in a day and age where people have said no to God. Romans chapter 1 comes into play every single day from verse 18 to the end. Verse 32, we see when people don't want to retain God in their knowledge, they don't like the concept of God, they don't want to give God his rightful place as king and take their rightful place as doulos, as slave, as the one who is accountable to the king. And we're here not to do our own will, we're here to do his will, because he is God. Is he safe? The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis writes, as Susan asked Mr. Beaver, is he safe? No, he's not safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you, and God is good. But God is he's a consuming fire. And that's I had a wrong reference. That's Hebrews 12, where our God is a consuming fire. It's Hebrews 10 that says it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So, fools and foolishness. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. They quarrel against that. They want to fight things that are obviously basic knowledge and go against that. It doesn't make any sense. But we need to stand up as Christians and speak the truth in love. And, you know, I don't consider myself a great arguer. I don't like to argue with people. What's the point of that? If a wise man has a controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man either rages or laughs, and there is no rest. So you explain the truth to people, and if they don't want it, now if they have legitimate questions, I was going back and forth with this one guy, and I said, hey, there are honest doubters and dishonest doubters. An honest doubter is somebody that's really seeking for the truth. They don't know the truth, but they want to find out the truth. They may have questions, they may have pushback, but it's not coming from this foolish attitude that says, I'm just going to argue with you. And then there are dishonest doubters. A dishonest doubter is not looking for information. A dishonest doubter just wants to argue. And that person has already had his mind made up. There's nothing you could possibly do to change that person's mind. You know, we talked about the unpardonable sin. What is the unpardonable sin that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 12? It's when your eyes are open to truth by the Holy Spirit and you still reject. Then there's nothing more that God can do in your life. You know, he's made it abundantly clear to you that you're a sinner in desperate need of the Savior, and Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. He is the Savior of the world, and you reject him. You still won't come. You're not going to come his way. You're going to come your own way. That's what Cain did in Genesis chapter 4. He came before the Lord his own way. And what happened? The Lord had no regard for Cain and his offering. I didn't say come with the fruit of the ground. I said come with a blood sacrifice. Abel came with a blood sacrifice. He was accepted. Cain came with the fruit of the ground, his own good works, so to speak, and he was rejected, because you can't come to God and be reconciled to God by good works. You have to come through the blood of the Lamb. Well, we have Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I was just going to say I have a neighbor, and I've told you about him before, called about him before. He had Trump derangement syndrome, and he no longer talks to me. But anyway, prior to that, one day I came over there for something, and he had a drink in his hand, and he inherited a lot of money. And so I've seen a change in him. He drinks a lot now. Anyway, he had a drink in his hand, and he said, "It just doesn't get any better than this." And, I mean, I didn't say anything at that point. I'm not always real good in spur-of-the-moment comments because I don't want to just sound condemning. I want to make a point. But there's no use arguing with him. You don't argue with him. So I don't see him anymore, but prior to that day, couple of years before that, I had witnessed to him, and he said, "I decided when I was 14 I didn't believe in God." So, anyway. But to me, that was the perfect picture of a fool, you know?
Yeah. It's sad. You know, I think with people like that, Lynn, the arguing's not going to do any good. You never argue anybody into the kingdom anyway. The Lord has to open their mind. And even if the Lord opens their mind to truth, they still have to yield to it. And if they refuse to do that because of pride, then there's no hope for them. It's like, okay, well, that's your choice. You know, the Lord doesn't make people believe in him. He invites people to believe in him. And I think it's interesting at the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, it says, "Books were open," which is a book of deeds. God records everything that we do. It's all the sins that you've committed. If you're an unbeliever, you're going to see those. And then another book was open, which was the book of life. And if any man's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. God shows people at the end of it all, I had a place in there for you. I died for you, but you said no. And now I look at you and say, not my will. My will was for you to be saved, but yours be done. You didn't want me? Okay, well, that's what you get. You get what you wanted, and you didn't want me, and so now you're going to go to a terrible, horrible place called the Lake of Fire, the second death, hell, and it's a place where I'm not there. You're not going to experience my love, my grace, my joy, my peace, none of it. You're just going to have what you opted for. So thank you, Lynn, for calling in. We have one last caller, Herschel from Kentucky. Herschel, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here. Been trying to call in several times, never got through. So anyway, I was just going to comment on the foolishness today. You know, the Bible speaks about it in the last days. The good will be bad, and the bad will be good, and that's all because of the foolishness. We have a lacking in discernment. That's from people not knowing God, not knowing His Word, not reading His Word. So I think that's where a lot of it's coming from. Because if you had good common sense, you'd have some discernment. So you have to have the discernment to have common sense, I think. And a lot of people that haven't got it are the ones that's not going to listen to you when you try to straighten them out. I see one thing going on in this country that shows that the foolishness is rapid is in the government, you know, where we had Biden getting a mental physical done and said he couldn't remember a sentence from yesterday, let alone 2 months ago.
Yeah. You're exactly right, Herschel. I appreciate we're running out of time, but I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you sharing with that. Yeah, we live in a world that's embracing foolishness, and the transgender issue is Exhibit A, along with many others. So thank you for joining today with Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.